song again. That song really pumps you up when the Bears are... when the Bears are... it gets faded out. Let's talk a little Bears. Obviously, they have a game on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, but I'm not sure they're going to have enough players to actually play that game. Joining us on the line, Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Sports, covers the Bears. You can check it out at WGNRadio.com/Bears, where his podcast is also up. I believe the new one is up now, Intentional Grounding. Adam Hoge, how are you, my man?
I'm good, Justin. Yeah, it is up, and we brought in a doctor today to talk about Kevin White and some of these injuries, because that's kind of at the point we're at with all this, all the injuries the Bears are dealing with right now.
John Fox today, his audio of reading the injury list and how more despondent and depressed he got as the list went on, was so telling. The Chicago Bears, I mean, you could say what you will about playing a violent sport like football, but this is egregious, the idea that 15 Bears are on the injury list.
Yeah, 30% of the roster on the injury report, and a lot of guys not practicing. The good news today was that Zach Miller went from not practicing yesterday to being limited with what they're calling a ribs injury. But, yeah, things have gotten worse because they've lost Kevin White now for at least 8 weeks. Good chance he's gone for the season if he can't get back from this this new fracture in his fibula. Same leg as last year, which he had the fracture in his tibia. And so he's gone now. Eddie Royal's dealing with a calf. Eddie Royal's been one of the bright spots so far in the season. And so those are two big losses to your group of wide receivers if Eddie can't play this weekend, which is still, I'm not convinced Eddie's going to be out, but that would be a loss because he certainly seems to look more like the young guy we saw in Denver that was running around catching all those passes with Jay Cutler back in the day.
Yeah, he's definitely been one of the bright spots for the Chicago Bears. How do the Bears deal with this kind of adversity? I mean, to have this many players, first off, I guess I should ask, are these real injuries, or is this sort of a byproduct of the new way the NFL does injury reports, where everybody's either questionable or ready? They got rid of what was it, probable, things of that nature. Are we seeing a lot of players that do have nagging injuries who probably will play on Sunday?
Well, the way the injury reports work, and what you just brought up was a change that they did make this year, where they got rid of probable. That really only affects what we see on Fridays, because on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they give us practice statuses, which is it's their normal amount of reps in practice. Because of some kind of lingering injury, must be listed on that injury report. And the way the NFL keeps you accountable for that is they can ask you for any practice tape, and you have to cough it up and show it to them. So I don't know how often they actually review that, but that is the way to keep them accountable to that. And then on Fridays, they also give you what's called the game status, and that's where they list the players on the injury report as either out, doubtful, or passed, or was also probable. And the NFL just got rid of that for whatever reason. They say it's for clarity, but I think it adds more doubt, because anybody who used to be probable is probably now being listed as questionable.
Right.
Makes it more of a question. So to answer your original question about whether or not there's more guys on here just because of the new way the injury report's done, I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of a lot of guys dealing with nagging injuries right now who aren't practicing as much as they normally would, and the Bears are required to put them on the injury report.
Now, some bright spots. I mean, Danny Trevathan has been practicing, even though he's going to have a cast on his hand for his broken thumb or his fractured thumb. That's a good sign for the Chicago Bears, that some of the guys who were injured earlier in the year seem to be making strides to get back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a silver lining here if you want to look for it. And I wrote this yesterday in my 10 Bears things on WGNRadio.com. Most of these key, really just go position by position, the amount of injuries the Bears have in the key spots, it's unbelievable. It'd be hard for any team to overcome that, except maybe you look at the Minnesota Vikings right now, which are without their quarterback, their Hall of Fame left tackle at this point on offense, and seem to be doing it. You know, the Bears are down their number one quarterback, their number one running back in Jeremy Langford, their number two wide receiver now in Kevin White. You go to the defense, they're without their number one nose tackle in Eddie Goldman. They're without Danny Trevathan, their inside linebacker, rusher in Pernell McPhee, who you kind of forget about at this point.
Yeah.
Their number two corner in Kyle Fuller. And there's a long list of these guys. They also go, you go back to training camp, they lost their center, their number one center, Hronis Grusu, for the year. That's the exception there, Grusu. For the most part, otherwise, technically, all these guys could come back at some point this season, except the Bears must choose between Kevin White and Kyle Fuller because they're on injured reserve and you can only bring one guy back from reserve. Yeah, you can only bring one guy back. It used to be zero. And then a couple of years ago, they said, okay, well, you can designate one player to return at the beginning of the season. Now they say you don't have to designate anybody to return. You can bring back one person at any point. But you're only allowed one.
If you were a betting man, who do you think has a better chance of seeing the field this year?
Well, they're gonna. First of all, Kyle Fuller's healthier. Okay, Kyle Fuller probably could have gotten back on the field, maybe even by this week or next week. The Bears got into a tough spot with how many injuries they had that they had to release somebody to bring. Either release somebody or put someone on injured reserve to fill in the roster spots, okay? And the way Kyle Fuller's knee was still acting up, they decided to just put him on IR with the idea that they could bring him back. Now, for the long term, and what's best for the Bears, if Kevin White is able to return later this season, if they deem that as something that is possible, they're going to bring Kevin White back over Kyle Fuller any day of the week because – These guys didn't draft Kyle Fuller. They're both former first-round draft picks, yeah. But Kevin White's their guy. Kyle Fuller's not. And they found some depth here at corner. I mean, another bright spot has been Bryce Callahan.
He played great the other night. Yeah, the other day.
He played outstanding the other day. They have DeAndre Hall. They have Jacoby Glenn. They have Cravon LeBlanc, who they got from the Patriots, a rookie there. There's four guys here, and still Tracy Porter is their number one corner. So there's not... They're struggling to find playing time for all these young kids right now. So Kyle Fuller is not really a priority, even though he's probably the healthier option. So to answer your question, Justin, if Kevin White's able to come back, they're going to bring Kevin White back. If he's not, then that's where they'll bring Kyle Fuller back.
Adam Hoge on the line with us. Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Chicago Bears for WGN Radio. You can find it at WGNradio.com/Bears. All right, let's talk about the opponent this week, the Indianapolis Colts. They also are 1-3. But in those games, even that game against Jacksonville in London last week, a game against Detroit earlier in the season, they're one of these teams that, yes, they have a terrible record, but they've lost these games in the last second.
Yep. That's true. They've been close games, and the Colts have a lot of talent on the roster. They also have a lot of turmoil. You really go back to the last calendar year, and I think there's severe questions about how much friction there is in that organization, how much maybe the players are bought in right now to this current regime. Many thought that Ryan Grigson, the general manager, and or the head coach, Chuck Pagano, was going to be let go at the end of last season. Instead, the Colts kind of shocked everybody by extending them both. But getting off to a 1-3 start here hasn't really alleviated those questions that were still persisting last year when the Colts went 8-8. So I look at this, and I'm not really, you know, dialed into the Colts like I am the Bears, obviously, but I really kind of think this is a huge game for Indianapolis because, to me, just looking at this from the outside, it's the type of situation that could spiral out of control quickly if they lose a home game to the 1-3 Chicago Bears. And that's where you could certainly start to lose a locker room if you haven't already. So I think that's a big question mark going into this game, and it's going to really be a huge factor in who wins this game on Sunday as well.
All right, so I mean, the Bears got one of the Colts' heart and soul. You know, one of their leaders, Darrelle Freeman, came over in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. I mean, the Colts. You know, you mentioned it in your article, just the concept that the Colts and Coach Pagano, they weren't happy about losing Darrelle Freeman. Does he at all have a chip on his shoulder? Is he going to play lights out to try and beat the team that essentially let him go?
Well, yeah. I mean, Darrelle is downplaying that idea, but look, it's human nature to look at that and say, yeah, he's going to have a little bit extra juice in this game. Now, I did a radio show in Indianapolis earlier today. First of all, they're really upset about losing Darrelle Freeman down there. They have not been able to fill the void. They don't really understand it. They're being very critical of the organization for losing Jarrell Freeman, especially with how well he's played for the Bears so far, and that's all fair. I guess what they explained to me was that the Colts offered the Bears, or offered Jarrell a similar contract as the Bears, except the Bears built in a certain amount of incentives, which they did with a lot of their free agents this offseason. They built in some incentives that the Colts weren't willing to put in their contract with Freeman, which is really questionable when you think about it, because the thing about incentives is if a player reaches them, that means he's playing very well for you.
Yeah, right.
And you're not really going to mind paying up that extra money. But the Colts decided for whatever reason not to put that in there, and they basically, I guess, cut ties and said, all right, we're going to let you walk at this point. And Freeman decided to go with the Bears. So I don't think Chuck Pagano, their head coach, was all that happy about it, because I had a chance to talk to him at the owners' meetings back in March, and just the mere mentioning of Jarrell Freeman's name got him going off on how much he loved the guy and missed him already. And that was back in March.
I love it. So, you're angering the Colts coach at the at meetings in March. I love it.
All I did was mention the guy's name, too. So obviously, you know, getting back to some of that friction I just mentioned, I don't think Chuck Pagano and their general manager, Ryan Grigson, were on the same page with Jarrell Freeman.
I think the most surprising thing about Sunday's game has to be that the network Fox has assigned its A broadcast team of Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews to the Bears-Colts game, when these two teams probably deserve, you know, the tryout guys, the practice squad guys, the former linebackers, as opposed to the A team. Why would go with the A broadcast? Is it just markets? What would be the reason for the Bears and the Colts to get top-notch treatment from Fox?
Yeah, I don't know, because the Colts aren't necessarily a huge market down there in Indy. Obviously, Chicago always is, and that's why they still end up on these primetime games, even though they've been embarrassing themselves on those games lately. I was surprised by it. I'm not sure, but they decided to go with their A crew for a battle between 2-1-3 football teams. I guess you get excited about Brian Hoyer. I don't know. It was an odd decision, especially because there are some other good games. I guess the Texans at Vikings, that's actually a CBS game. So, because that's another one of the good noon games on Sunday.
And it's not really because of the Cubs, because won't the Cubs be out? They'll be like, I think on Sunday's a travel days, right? So they won't.
Maybe
Joe Buck wanted to go to Wrigley, and he's like, "Well, let's just make it that I go to the Bears." But it's in Indianapolis anyway, so
that's
my theory's been destroyed.
That's a whole other story that I don't understand. Is you know, with the Cubs? I mean, what is baseball doing putting these games on FS1 and MLB Network?
It's crazy.
It makes no sense to me to bury. Now, on Saturday, you have a whole bunch of college football on Fox and ESPN and ESPN2, and I get all that because college football is a huge draw. But to bury this outstanding Cubs-Giants series that we're going to be treated to over the next week on these secondary sports networks is just baffling to me.
It really is. It's something we'll talk about and, you know, continue to talk about, because there's a chance, I mean, especially when you get in a secondary network like MLB, that a lot of Chicagoans won't have a chance to see it. Now, I know they're offering it up, you know, on all the services, but you still have to pay for it. I mean, if you don't pay for MLB, you don't get it. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I just switched my cable back to DirecTV, in part because for what I was paying with cable, I wasn't getting MLB Network, NFL Network. And for what I do, that's hard to do my job.
Right. Absolutely.
There's a lot of people out there who don't have MLB Network. And when I saw that Saturday night's game is only on MLB, that was shocking to me.
This place is going to go up. Chicago's going to go up.
This is something a lot of people don't pay attention to until it's like literally game time.
Yeah.
And they go, all right, what channel's the game on? And then they don't realize it. They don't have the channel, and it's going to be chaos.
It's really. We're going to have to put a couple extra reporters on for Saturday. The beat will be all over it. Adam Hoge covers the Bears for WGNRadio.com. You can find it at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Intentional Grounding is out. The beat is on Saturday here on 720. Adam, great to talk to you, man. You got a prediction for the Bears?
I have the Bears winning 24-23. I just think the Colts are a mess right now.
All right. I like your optimism. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Adam.
All right. See you guys.